Hello and welcome to the Mindful World Parenting Summit. I'm Dr. Stacey Thomas, your host. You can just call me Dr. Stacey, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Dr. Nicole Berkins. Dr. Nicole Berkins is a licensed clinical psychologist with advanced degrees in psychology, education, and nutrition, and she is the world's leading holistic child psychologist. She has dedicated more than 22 years of her career providing parents with research-based strategies that get to the root of children's attention, anxiety, mood, and behavior challenges so that they can reach their highest potential. She runs a multidisciplinary evaluation and treatment clinic, is a best-selling author, published researcher, award-winning therapist, and experienced mother of four. My goodness, she's here to talk to us today about healthy parenting for hyper-connected kids. Welcome, Dr. Berkins, to the summit.
Oh, thanks for having me. So great to be here.
We are so thankful and so thankful for this topic. My goodness, I think I speak on behalf of so many parents around the globe who are so concerned about this new reality for their kids, where they're sitting in front of screens a good portion of the day. So let's get into it. Let's start with, what are the impacts of this new reality?
Yeah, this is one of the top things that I am asked about in general, but especially in the last several months with the pandemic and, you know, parents who were already concerned about the amount of time their kids were spending on devices. Now that's been amplified, right? Because we don't even have the buffer anymore of kids going to school, and not being on devices. And for some kids, they were on school, using devices at school all the time anyway. So parents are right to be concerned about this. And at the same time, there's the overall concern of how are parents and families supposed to manage right now, especially with many parents trying to work from home and balancing parenting and their kids doing school online. It's a tough time. So I want to approach this topic. Yes, let's talk about what the research says. Yes, let's talk about why we need to be mindful about device use for kids, but I also want to put that in the context of parents giving themselves a lot of grace right now, that this is a period of time where we are all just trying to get through and hoping that this will not become the permanent new normal, that this is a temporary thing. So I want to approach this from the standpoint of, yes, we need to be aware, and I'm going to give you lots of information and lots of strategies, and also I don't want anyone beating themselves up over what may be going on with devices in their home. So I think that's an important thing for people to be thinking about. You asked about what some of the issues are. So I'll talk about what the research tells us in two different domains. One is how device use, and particularly what we call excessive or overuse of screen time, how that impacts physical health, and then also how that impacts brain development and mental health, because we have research in both of those areas. And let's cover physical health first, because that's a more simple one. Really, the reality is the more time that children spend sedentary, meaning sitting, lying down, passive in front of devices, the more problems that has for aspects of their physical health and physical development. Because movement drives brain development and learning in children, particularly in children birth through the elementary school ages. So physical movement is really important. But from a health perspective, what we see is that as children's use of devices, their amount of screen time increases over the course of the day, they get less physical movement, and that is correlated then with an increased risk of obesity, of even things like type 2 diabetes in children, high blood pressure. So those physical health concerns that we tend to think about with adults, what we're seeing is that even children now more and more are prone to those, and certainly excessive device use is a piece of that because of the displacement of physical movement. The more time kids are spending sedentary on devices, the less time they're moving. And so that has impact on things like weight and blood sugar regulation and all of that. The other physical piece that I think is important for parents to be aware of is the impact on eye health and vision. Because what we're seeing in the studies is fitting with what many eye doctors, optometrists, ophthalmologists have been saying now for a while, which is, boy, we're seeing a lot more kids coming in needing glasses a lot sooner. Mm. And what we see now, what we understand is that the more time kids are spending with screens doing this close-up kind of use of their vision for extended periods of time, that's not normal or optimal for development of the eyes, of vision. And so what's happening is kids are needing glasses sooner. Their vision is being impacted. And this is why, as we get into strategies, we'll talk about the importance of kids taking breaks. It's for their vision too. So, you know, these are the physical pieces that we know are impacted by excessive device use. On the mental health and the brain development side, we have studies now showing an impact on everything from cognitive and language development in toddlers and preschoolers, all the way through things like increased risk of ADHD, of anxiety, of depression, of suicidality as kids get into the preteen and teen years. So there isn't any aspect of brain development or mental health that isn't touched or impacted by overuse of devices. Now, does that mean that if a kid is spending more time than we would recommend on a device that they're going to end up with learning problems and depression? No. What it means is that the likelihood, the chances, the risk of them developing those kinds of issues goes up as the amount of device use goes up. And so that's important for parents to really be aware of, because a lot of the time, you know, we're not thinking about it. It's like, oh, one day leads the next. Oh, you know, they spent this much time today, or, oh, it's so hard to get kids off devices. You know, we talk about it a lot, but I think it's important to recognize that there are real risks and there are real concerns. This isn't just a theoretical concern anymore like it was maybe, you know, 15 years ago. Oh gosh, you know, maybe it's not good for kids to be on devices all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, now we know. And while devices can have a very positive impact on the lives of children, certainly we know that, right? Allowing them access to ideas and learning and all kinds of things that they may not have in their local community, access to people and the development of relational connections, both with family members and friends that they know in person, as well as new people around the world. Those are some of the amazing positive benefits that come from living in a world that is connected via, you know, the internet 24/7. So I want to acknowledge that there certainly are positives. What we're talking about with all of these risks and these potential negatives is really when we get into that overuse category, when typical activities and things that kids should be doing that are supportive of their physical and mental health are going by the wayside, are not happening because time is being spent on devices. And so we do want to be conscientious about that. And it's important, especially if a child already has some risk factors, some predisposition, either genetically or they've already shown some signs of some things like attention problems or mood problems or behavior issues or things like that, to know that overuse of devices can exacerbate that, can make that worse. So for parents to just understand that these are real concerns and really gets to the root of why we want to mindfully engage around kids' device use and educating them and using some of these strategies.
Okay. And is there a definition of overuse? Like, how do we know?
Yeah, how did I know you were going to ask that question? it is an important question. And here's the hard thing, because parents will say to me, well, tell me how much time. Well, here's the challenge with that. So historically, you know, back 10, 12 years ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics was the first organization to put out guidelines for use of devices for kids, recognizing that, whoa, parents need some guidance here. We need to be aware of what's healthy and what's not healthy. Well, back then they used, you know, a certain number of hours or minutes a day. And that was sort of the gold standard for a while, was, you know, kids and teens shouldn't be having more than 2 hours of use. Well, the problem is that as time has evolved and as our reliance on devices has evolved, as devices have become, you know, more and more a part of what kids are doing in school, Many parents are saying, hey, by the time my kid gets home from school, they've already spent way more than 2 hours on devices. So where does that leave us? So those definitions, those recommendations have been revised in the last few years to really approach it more in terms of families and parents prioritizing non-device things that are necessary and important for their children, and then looking at device use in their leisure time as something that happens then after these other priorities are completed. Mm-hmm. Recognizing that some kids have spent their entire school day, especially right now, you know, on devices. So there's been a shift in making sure that we are having activities and things in a child's life that are non-device focused, that are critical and important, prioritizing those and then making leisure screen time a secondary thing. Now, there is, when we're talking about really young children, there are more hard and fast recommendations. For example, children birth to 18 months, the recommendation is that they do not have any screen time unless it's something where they're engaging with another person. Like, for example, FaceTiming with grandma and grandpa who live, you know, far away, or, you know, something like that. Otherwise, the recommendation is that children at those ages do not engage in screen time. And that's really because the research shows that there's no benefit to them engaging in it at that age. And babies and young toddlers at those ages require a lot of in-person, face-to-face connection and activity in order to develop optimally. So that's one age group where we can really look at that and say we need to be really putting limits on that and understanding the role of that in development. And then sort of the 18-month to through maybe kindergarten age is another one where, you know, some of the recommendations, and I really encourage parents around this, you know, no more than 90 minutes to 2 hours total over the course of the day. And even 2 hours would be a lot in that age group. But the focus needs to be on quality. And you know, we can talk about that a bit in terms of quality is even more important in some ways than quantity, what kids are doing on devices. But, you know, in those toddler preschool years, we want parents or other trusted adults to be engaging with kids around what they're doing. So maybe watching a program together or reading a digital book together, things that involve other people so that there's guidance, there's language development happening. Kids are able to, you know, make better sense of what they're seeing. So while I wish that I could say to parents, how old is your child? Okay, here's the exact amount of time. It's not that simple. But these guidelines give people some things to be aware of. And what I'll say too, you know, that prioritizing of things, making sure that that children are prioritizing and that time in the day is spent on things like play and being outdoors and getting movement and doing chores and helping out around the house and reading books and all of those things that we want to be priorities that their time is spent doing, that's really important. And then, you know, the screen time is a secondary piece of things. However, it's important to recognize that some children are much more sensitive to device use. So what may constitute excessive screen time or overuse of devices for child A may be different than child B. Some of the children I see in my practice, especially if they have what I call really sensitive brains, so these kids that tend to really get easily ramped up, hyperactive, behaviorally dysregulated, really moody pretty quickly, you know, even after 20 to 30 minutes of time spent on video games or, you know, in front of screens, that child overuse might be, you know, 30 minutes at a time, whereas another child, it may be, you know, more than that. So parents also need to be aware of their child's individual responses and reactions. You know, I'll have parents in the clinic who will say, oh my gosh, after 20 minutes of, you know, playing these games online, he's just horrible to try to deal with, right? He's argumentative. It's like he can't turn it off. He can't break away from it. So parents know their child and know the responses that they're having to that. And that's important to bear in mind too, in terms of what's going to constitute healthy and appropriate device use for that particular child.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really specific. And, you know, the what you just described there is, I think, where, especially now, parents get beat down. It's like this, we have this feeling like our child is becoming addicted. It almost feels like they have to have it. There's such a drive to have it, and all the friends are doing it. And if a parent is noticing these behavioral changes in their child, I'm assuming this is like, you know, a child like over six, let's say, or over seven, yep. Right? And if, what is your advice for those parents about how to address this?
When parents are noticing that a child's relationship with their devices, with digital media, has become unhealthy. So just as you described, they're more combative, argumentative, there's this addictive piece to it, which, by the way, these devices and these apps and these games are designed to be addictive, and they do act on that same dopamine response system in the brain that other addictive substances and behaviors act on. So it's not a surprise that children and adults are dealing with something along the addiction spectrum, right? From mild to more severe. You know, we have rehab facilities cropping up around the world now for these digital addiction kinds of problems, children needing inpatient care to detox them from this. So this is a real thing, but it does exist on a spectrum. And when parents are noticing these things, it's important to pull back, to reassess, to go, okay, what role is device use, digital media, playing in my child's life? How much of their time is taken up with that? What boundaries and processes do we have in place? What do we need to be changing here to help our child regain a healthier mind and also a healthier relationship with tech? Because remember that if children are developing unhealthy, dysfunctional relationships with their devices and with digital media now, they're going to grow into young adults and adults who are really going to struggle with that too. And obviously the stakes are much, much higher there. You know, I see young adults in my practice who have not been able to launch into, you know, adult life because of issues with gaming, issues with overuse of devices, and the anxiety and the depression and everything that that brings. So it's important when parents are seeing some of those signs in kids, even just, you know, a child becoming more moody and argumentative, you know, that's reason enough to say, whoa, we need to pull back here and look at this and do a reset. And, you know, as the mom of four kids, my kids are teens and young adults now, but when they were younger, and there weren't nearly as many things now as there were when, you know, like my 20-year-old was in elementary school. But, you know, we had just a Wii gaming system. We thought, oh, you know, this will be great. They can, you know, do bowling and all of these things and whatever. But we would notice, even with two of our boys in particular, that after even 20 to 30 minutes, like after any amount of time spent on that, they would just be sort of more prickly and grumpy and irritable and just a little more disrespectful in their attitude. And we were like, whoa, you know, this is not okay. And many parents say that. They're like, yeah, there's something about this that just brings out this edge in my kids. And so it's important to be monitoring that and adapting and talking with kids about it. Hey, here's what I'm noticing. You just spent an hour playing that game, and, you know, I asked you to do something and this was your response. Like, what do you think about that? How are you feeling? Are you seeing a connection here? And just bringing their awareness to it, I think, is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other reality is that the parents are addicted.
That's right.
Like, we're all addicted. And so this, we're going to talk about this with the kids, I mean, I can tell you, like, the thing that will get my young daughter like upset with me is if I check my phone.
Yeah. That's right.
So talk to us a little bit about that piece of things.
That parent modeling piece is critical. And, you know, I want to make sure that the parents who are listening have tangible strategies around this. So let's talk about just some core principles to understand, and then we'll get into some specific strategies. And one of the core principles is exactly what you just brought up, which is the role of parents' own relationship with technology in all of this. Because just like with anything, what children see us doing is much more powerful than what we say to them. So we can tell them all day long, you know, you need to get off your devices. It's not good to be on them all the time. You're on them too much. But if they see us constantly on our devices, never fully present with what we might be doing with them or, you know, in conversations because we're checking the phone or we've got the laptop open or whatever, that is a much more powerful statement that we're making. And what we're telling them is, well, don't listen to what I say. You know, the reality is we're all on these things all the time. So that parent modeling piece is key. And I think this is really one of the big challenges for parents is we are the first generation of parents raising children in this 24/7 connected internet and digital device based world. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure this out for ourselves as we're trying to figure this out for our kids because we didn't grow up in an environment where these devices were present. And we can't look at what our parents or grandparents might have done, right? With so many things as a parent, we'll go, well, okay, how was I raised or how did my mom or dad do this with me? We can't do that. We don't have a model for that. We're trying to figure it out. So I want us all to give ourselves a measure of grace around that because it is more complicated when we're trying to figure it out while we're also trying to manage it with our kids. But we need to be aware of the model that we're providing. And one of the first things I ask parents to do is just start to become, even for 3 days in a row, intentionally more aware of device use. Not necessarily changing anything, but just being aware of, you know, every hour, what devices have I been using? You know, noticing, are there any periods of time where I don't have my phone right there with me? Or when I'm, you know, not somehow distracted or consumed with that. So I think that awareness for parents is key and then what we model is key. Another core principle is I mentioned this, being thoughtful about quality of what kids are doing and not just the quantity. So one of the things that's come out of this pandemic period, we have data showing that yes, kids' use of devices and digital media has skyrocketed, easily doubled in most of the United States and Europe since the shutdown, you know, quarantine, sheltering in place happened. However, a significant percentage of that increased use is what we would put in the basket of more quality device usage. So the majority of it has been for learning kinds of platforms and activities, as well as for maintaining social connection. So okay, those are quality uses, right? A kid doing FaceTime with their friends or with family members or learning how to play the guitar, you know, online or taking a class online or whatever it might be, that's quality device use compared to things like gaming or mindless scrolling of social media. One of the, actually the number one use of digital media right now among children is YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. An average of 80 to 90 minutes a day spent on YouTube videos that we would for the most part put in the category of less quality. Not that it's not appropriate to do sometimes, but if we're going to look at a child right now during this pandemic period spending maybe let's say 8 hours a day, you know, on devices, we want the majority of that to be with quality kinds of things. So quality does make a difference. It's important also, again, with one of these core principles to realize that ongoing communication and education and engagement with children around device use is key. These are not conversations that we have once and then we say, well, you know, I talked about the dangers or the safety issues or the rules or whatever, and now I'm done with that. These are evolving conversations because we want to start out talking with our little ones in an age-appropriate way about safety things online, about what's appropriate and not appropriate. We're going to set time limits and have boundaries and things, you know, for three-year-olds that are developmentally appropriate. As they get older, those conversations and those rules and those limits evolve. Right? Mm-hmm. Because the goal is that by the time our kids, you know, are done with high school, are moving out on their own, that we have helped them grow in their awareness, in their development of healthy habits with devices so that they're able to manage these things well on their own. Mm-hmm. So it's this process that's evolving in these conversations that happen over time, particularly as kids get into the preteen and teen years, when, you know, most parents are allowing them to have some, access to social media, to other kinds of content. They need us as parents and trusted adults in their life to be engaging with them around that, to be talking with them about what they're seeing and what they're doing on there, to give them some guidance and a sounding board and a way to figure out what is healthy and unhealthy. How do you communicate appropriately? What happens when you witness or are the victim of, you know, bullying kinds of things online? So This is a process. If parents are going to provide devices to children, then we're taking on the responsibility of engaging with them around that and helping them learn and develop healthy mindset, healthy habits around those devices. We cannot just say, well, here's your device and, you know, good luck. I hope that works out for you. And, you know, oh gosh, it's really hard to get it away from you. So, you know, there's nothing I can do. And no. That's not appropriate. If we're going to give our kids devices, and we need to, because this is a reality of the world that they live in. So the solution is not to go all the way the other direction, right? And go, oh my gosh, I'm just not giving my kids any devices. That doesn't work either. But if we're going to give them devices, then we need to take on the responsibility of engaging and helping them learn healthy habits with that. So those are some of the core things that I think are important for parents to understand.
Oh, amazing, Dr. Berkins. I mean, and it really speaks to like this ongoing of self-evaluation conversation. Maybe even asking the kids, what do you notice? Because like we are not always aware of what we're doing.
That's right.
Right? And so can we have some open communication about that and center our lives around our values as families and what's really important and come together with a sense of mission around it. Almost seems like we need to kind of look at like, how do we get our lives back into our control as opposed to being like dragged into the wilderness with these things.
Such a great point. And I think, you know, I love the title of this event, the Mindful World Parenting Summit. And if ever there was a place for us as parents to be more intentional and mindful, it is around this issue of devices and of, you know, the digital world that kids are growing up in. We need to be mindful about that. And, you know, I want to share some really specific strategies for people, people who are listening going, okay, I recognize now this is something I need to be aware of. I've probably been allowing too much, or I haven't really been paying attention to what my kids are doing or whatever. Okay, that's all right. Awareness is the first step. Let's get into some specifics to help everybody find better balance. And I think exactly what you said is so critical. Start with a conversation, because often parents will say, especially if their child has already had access to devices and there haven't been limits or there haven't been discussions, parents will say, well, how can I implement anything now because I haven't done it? Well, it starts with a conversation. Just like anything else, you know, hey, I've learned more. I have new information. I've become more aware of something. And now I want to talk about that with you. And we're going to make some changes because I realize that I should have been managing this differently. That's important for us to own that as parents, right? Mm-hmm. And to say, hey, I've learned better. Now I'm going to do better. And so that's a good place to start. But a few things to consider. The first is looking at time limits. And awareness is the place to start with this. Just like I mentioned a few minutes ago, parents becoming more aware of their own device use. Mm-hmm. We need to become aware of it for kids. And really looking at how much time are they spending and what are they spending it on. Many adults are horrified when they actually start using like the screen time tools on their devices, or they use, you know, some of the apps that are available to track, and they'll go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. We wildly underestimate our use, and kids do too. So we need to develop more awareness. So the first step is using the screen time or the parental control options on the devices, or using some of the apps that just track that, to be able to sit down, especially with kids elementary age and older, and say, let's look at how much you used your phone today. Do you want to take a guess? You know, how many minutes or hours do you think you spent? What do you think you spent the most time on? And then being able to look at it, not in a punitive way, but an information gathering way. Oh, wow. You thought you spent 2 hours. Actually, you spent 6.5 hours. And it looks like you spent 3 hours on YouTube today. That awareness, kids will go, oh, I didn't even know. So having awareness of it so that then you can determine how to better prioritize that. You can say, wow, you know, 3 hours on YouTube, that doesn't fit with our values as a family or what we've decided is important. And boy, you didn't get outside to play at all today, or you haven't seen, you know, you haven't done your chores all week or whatever it might be, and to start to realign those. And, you know, even to develop some systems around here are the things that need to get done first each day before we are turning on devices or accessing those. That's a good way to think about it. Using the controls that come on these devices or that third-party apps offer to make it easier for us to set and manage time limits. Because one of the reasons I find that parents tend to just back away from this whole thing and go, it's too much, I'm overwhelmed, is because they feel like it's a lot to try to keep track of. And I get that. Mm-hmm. As a mom of four, I mean, I have four kids. Now, two of them are out of the house. I don't manage their devices anymore. But when they all were home, they've got multiple devices too, right? They've got a laptop for school. They've got their smartphone. We had an iPad for the family. It feels like a lot. So what I want to encourage parents to do is use the tools that are available to make that easier. And that every single device now, whether it's an iPhone, whether it's an Android, any of these devices, they have tools in them. Some of them are called screen time. Some of them are called parental controls. They have tools where you can set time limits. You can put restrictions on content. Mm-hmm. You can make it so that kids have to ask permission before they can do things like make purchases within apps or even download certain apps. You have a lot more control than you may realize. And that's really important because kids don't know how to figure out or manage any of that. So we need to be in there using those tools, and that makes it easier for us too. We can't keep track of with, especially with multiple kids in the home, okay, how many hours, but when we set and configure those things so that the device shuts off or it gives them a 10-minute warning or whatever, that makes it easier. So use those tools and focus on what are the priorities, what needs to get done during the day, and then device use can be secondary to that. So I think that's one set of really specific things. Another is set aside, determine what specific times and places there will not be device use. This can be a really helpful starting point for families who feel like everyone in the family is just using devices all the time. Maybe a good starting point is to look at specific times and places where no one's going to use devices. An example would be device-free dinners. I'm a big proponent of device-free meal times. Families sitting down together, eating, and devices are not there. Moms and dads, you don't have your devices at the table. Kids don't have them there. That's a great starting point for, hey, we're all in this together, and we're going to spend this time with each other and with our food and in conversation and relating to one another without devices. So that's one option. During family time, if you're playing a game or going for a walk or doing something with another person in the family, that we're not going to have devices distracting us. And moms and dads, this goes for you too. That means you're not hopping up at every notification on your device. You know, if you're playing the game with your kids, you're sitting there and you're playing the game. If you're going for a walk, you're going for a walk. So setting aside those times. And then another big one is no devices in the bedroom at night. And this is from a health standpoint as well as a safety standpoint. Nothing good happens for your children on the internet in the middle of the night. Nothing. And there are major safety concerns around kids having access to devices in the night, not to mention the very real health concerns of, we know that digital devices are one of the big issues that disrupts children's sleep. And when kids are having their sleep disrupted, I'll have teens come into my clinic and they'll say, you know, yeah, I'm in my bedroom for 8 hours a night, but I get maybe 3.5 hours of sleep a night because their friends are texting them, they get scrolling on social media, and suddenly it's 3 in the morning, you know, all these things. So devices not in the bedroom at night, that's a great way to ensure that kids are at least getting a good chunk of time where their brain can recalibrate, where they're getting good quality sleep, and they're not being disrupted by the devices. So those are just some examples, but setting aside specific times and places for that. And then taking breaks regularly. This is especially important right now with kids doing school online. Mm-hmm. Because they need to get up and move around periodically. So for young kids, no more than 20 to max 30 minutes at a time before they need to physically get up, move around, use their distance vision. Remember I mentioned that vision problems are a big thing? This is how you combat that, because children are not meant to be using their near point vision for extended periods. So they need to be having these breaks to get up and have to use their distance vision to go back and forth between that close up and that distance. For older kids, no more than 45 to 50 minutes, certainly not more than an hour. Even if you have a really type A driven kid who's like, I need to get these assignments done. Beyond the 50 to 60 minute mark, their brain's not taking in and they're really not benefiting from that at that point anyway. So they need to get up and take at least a 5 to 10 minute break every hour, physically move around, do something different, use their distance vision. Those breaks are really important, especially right now with them doing so much online with the schooling and with seeing friends and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's periodic detoxes that are helpful for families to implement. You know, you mentioned that detoxing before, and we can all benefit from this. The research is still, you know, looking at what's best in terms of, you know, how often to do these things. But a detox can be anything from part of a day that, you know, your kids or as a family, you commit to not having devices. Okay, on Saturday afternoons, we're all going to be off devices and doing different things. It can be up to an entire day, or some families have found it really important and necessary to do a week, or for some kids who really have major behavioral and emotional issues and addiction issues around this, it needs to be longer. But having these periodic detoxes where it's like, we're going to give our brains a break from this. What you need to understand about that is, of course, your kids are going to be unhappy about that initially. Oh, you know, taking this away from me, my life is over. I mean, you know, it'll be very dramatic. But here is what you hold on to as a parent. On the other side of these breaks is a different kid and is a better and more mindful and more connected family reality. And so while they may get upset and that may peak, it will come down. And parents will tell me, you know, parents who never thought they could do even a full day, let alone a week detox from devices, they get through that and they go, oh my gosh, I have my pleasant, thoughtful, engaged kid back. And so those can be powerful reminders of kind of that slippery slope of how device use does impact our children and us over time. So taking the time, recognizing when either shorter detoxes or longer detoxes would be helpful, and thinking about how you want to implement those. So hopefully that gives people some specific things that they can start doing.
Thank you so much, Dr. Berkins. This content, the suggestions you've given, is exactly what we need right now. So thankful to have you here. And I have some standard questions, actually, that we have been asking all of our contributors. Starting with just, you know, your hope, right? This pandemic, I think, is definitely a sign that we are in a paradigm shift for sure. And what is your hope for how humanity might evolve as a result of this pandemic?
It's a wonderful question, and I love the reframe of that, because typically people think, oh, this has been, you know, so awful and so hard. And actually what I've been saying from the beginning is I think there's some amazing silver linings here. I think this is a call for us to reevaluate some of what had been normal that maybe wasn't healthy for us as parents, as kids, as families. So I think that it's a really important thing. And what I hope in terms of how we might evolve as parents and families is to realize the value of slowing down and really spending time connecting with our families and with our children. One of the gifts of this has been that families have been spending more time together and that the pace of life has been slowed and that there has been more time for this togetherness. And lots of kids in my practice have noticed the benefit of that. And they've actually enjoyed, you know, having mom and dad home more, of taking walks together, of playing more games, of doing things together. And so I think that that's something that I'd like to see continue, because life has gotten so overly busy. And we've thought for a while now that the way that we meet the needs of our kids or help them grow or evolve is to put them in lots of things and be doing all of these things. And actually, what we really need to be doing is slowing down and spending time and focusing on our connection, our relationship with each other. So I hope that that continues.
Me too. Thank you for that. And, you know, this, you probably already answered it, but is there anything else you think we are really doing well that makes you feel hopeful about the future?
Yeah, I think despite all the challenges and despite how much doom and gloom there is, especially in the news these days, I think we're actually doing a lot of things right with kids. And one of the things that I think, again, has come out of this that we're doing well is having conversations with kids about uncomfortable issues. You know, The pandemic kind of forced that of, you know, talking about things that are uncomfortable or hard to talk about, and talking about our own anxieties as parents and our own, you know, how we're managing uncertainties. And I think engaging with kids in conversations about real things and about uncomfortable things, that's actually a wonderful thing and is a great model for them and is really important for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Now, you've given us so much, so many great tips, concrete tools, but if there was one thing, like just one thing that you would like our viewers to action today that you think would benefit themselves and their families, what would that be?
Yeah. Take some time every day, even if it's just for a few minutes, to disconnect from devices and connect with your kids. I don't care if it's 5 minutes of giving them a bath at night if they're little ones, or it's 5 minutes of sitting on the edge of their bed, you know, at night just to talk for a few minutes, or listen to, you know, calming music or whatever for older ones before they go to bed. It doesn't have to be a huge amount of time, but be intentional about at least some period of time every day where you are disconnecting from those devices and plugging in and connecting with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's good for them, but it's so good for the parents too, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Berkins, this has been so great. Like, I'm so thankful we had this time, so thankful about this topic. Like, everyone is struggling, but I'm sure if they watch and take this in and start, they're going to see some results.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt.
Let me ask you, what is the best way for our viewers to get in touch, to learn more about what you offer?
Please. Absolutely. So the website that I have that really is geared towards resources and information for parents is drberkins.com. So drberkens.com. Got lots of videos, articles on this topic that we've been talking about, along with all kinds of other topics around child development and parenting and mental health and all of that. So parents are welcome to go and access everything there. There also, I have a tech guide for parents on the website that they're welcome to access. They can find that on the main website, or an easier URL is drnicoletechguide.com. They can go there, and this is a very extensive PDF guide that they can download with, you know, charts and resources, all kinds of things that basically they can begin to really implement these things. So for those of you who want to really delve into this more, that's a great resource on the website as well.
Awesome. I just wrote that down. Checking it out right away. Yep. All right. Well, Dr. Berkins, thank you again for taking the time to speak with us today and for everything that you're doing to make this a more mindful world. We're truly thankful.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. You take care.